Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
Russ, I know every time before we go into Cowboy Church, we kind of talk about what you're going to be speaking about. And when you told me the second part of your sermon today, and this is the second part, so if you missed the first part, you need to go back, is meekness.
Meekness.
I've always thought, when I was younger, I thought that meekness was a little cowed down person that never said anything, and they were just, you know, shy or introverted. And I think you're going to show us today that it's totally the opposite.
It really is. And one of the definitions that they put on these great war horses is when they achieve and they max out. Mm-hmm. They're called meek. So if they ask, like, it'd mm-hmm. be a roping horse, if he's the kind that you'd ride at the national finals, mm-hmm. they'd say, well, he's meek. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the term they used for the good ones. And there's a reason for it, and I'm going to be telling you some of those reasons here in just a little while.
Awesome. Yeah? Awesome. Well, sit back and relax. You're not going to want to miss this. Oh, my gosh. The things that Russ is going to teach you today is so applicable to your life today. With your children, with your spouse, in your job, just when you go to the grocery store or get gas down at the filling station, you will use these techniques. And I hate to even say it's technique.
It is
the way of life. It is the way of Christian living. Stay tuned.
Word of fellowship, word of joy divine. Word of peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, I'm leading, safe and secure. Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms, oh, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all along. I'm
first verse again, would you, Mark?
Oh, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What can one wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole up again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that it makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that it makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Can I just say this? That if God the Father is not in charge in your life, if God the Father is not in charge of your home, your family, your business, your life is chaos. People are experiencing burnout all the time, and part of the reason that they experience burnout is they don't understand that God came to bring order. He came to bring peace, but the mature people understand that God is overall. And if you will allow God's order to rule in your life, what's that about? It's about priorities, really. What's the most important thing in your life? I can tell you, if I hang around you for 3 or 4 days, I can tell you what your priorities are. If you get up in the morning and you neglect your time with God, well, you may be a person who likes to go to bed, and the last thing you do is make sure that your walk with God is right so you can have a good night's sleep. You can be thinking about God. Maybe that's your priority. Maybe that's the timing that you use to show your priority. But if the Word of God, if connection with God through prayer and establishing fellowship for your family, getting them into church, getting him into fellowship with other believers, if that is not your priority, welcome to chaos. That's the way it's going to work. God wants a relationship with you, and what you find out is that those horses, as they begin to give in and they begin to submit, what they're doing is they're well, They're representing humility. Now, I'm going to give you a little lesson on humility. And I've said this before, but sometimes it takes 18 times to get this down. My second oldest son, Jordan, he's got a wonderful, brilliant mind. He calls me a while back and says, "Dad, I've been studying about humility." Now, you got to understand, those of you who know Jordan, some of you know him already. For a long time, he was not just self-assured, he was a little cocky. Really, he was just a little cocky. And my wife, Anna, she goes, "What are you going to do about him? He needs to come down a peg or two." She said that several times. And when he was turning 18 years old, she expressed that to me. And I said, "Look, Anna, he's going to be roping in the PRCA. He's already got his permit set up to go. And if he doesn't have a little bit of that cocky edge, when he gets into pro rodeo, they'll just knock him clear down. But if he's a little bit cocky, they'll bring him back to humility. I promise they will." Well, the day finally came and Jordan calls me and he goes, "Dad, I've been studying about humility." And I'm thinking, man, thank you, God. We're going to get this all straightened out. And he goes, I understand about, you know, if you're really cocky." He says, "That's humility. I mean, that's pride." And he says, "But, you know, I discovered something else that is pride." And I said, "Well, what's that?" See, I've always had a little trouble being a little bashful. And some of you that are around me don't understand some of the mountains I've had to climb to overcome being a bashful person. And he says to me, he says, "What about bashful, Dad?" I said, "What?" I was hoping to hear something else here. And then he says, "What about bashful?" I said, "I don't know. What about bashful?" He goes, "It's the same thing, isn't it?" I said, "Same thing as what?" He says, "Well, it's being cocky. If you're cocky, it's about yourself. If you're being bashful, it's about you. You've got too much pride to just step up and do the right thing. You're just bashful. It's about you, isn't it?" And I had to admit, that's really correct. So I said, "Okay, tell me what humility really is then." He goes, "I found out." He said, "It's wherever God puts you, it's serving there under his authority. Or if he puts you in a position where you've got a boss, it's under his authority. But you get to serve over the people that he's put you over under God's authority." He says, humility is not too much or too little. It's being able to slot into the place that God has put you. So you can serve God in that position. Like if I'm a parent, I'm the best parent if I'm serving God and I'm also ruling over my children in a proper manner and bringing them where they will begin to identify God according to the way that I raise them. I thought, what a great definition. But that's about exactly what humility is. It's being smart enough to figure that slot out where you fit. So I thought, well, you know, back to the starting those horses, they get those horses saddled and get them to quit bucking and finally give in and come to them and they get on them. It's kind of scary. And the first thing they do is they will take one of the reins and they'll begin to put a little pressure on the bridle, on the mouth. They'll put a little pressure on it and they'll hold it. Pretty soon that horse will give his head. And when they do, they release the pressure. A little pressure. Release. Pressure, movement, release. And they get to where, oh, when the pressure starts, I don't have to take it. I can actually give in. And then they move them from that to the next step, to the next step. And what they're doing, they're establishing who is in charge and they're establishing order. And as that horse gives in and goes, okay, he's understanding that the guy who's sitting on his back is actually in charge, and he gives orders through these reins and through foot cues and through pressure release, and he establishes order. And then the next thing that happens is this, and this is a tremendous horse term for those of you who are horse trainers. It has to do with the word meek. Now, we have definitions of meek. I looked up some. And in the English language, we do not understand meekness at all. Here's what the definitions in the dictionary, meekness is a quiet, gentle, and easily imposed on person. That's a meek person, easily imposed on. But in the original Greek, meekness was used as we use horsepower. That's what meekness is. Meekness is considered power under control. Power under control. So the meekness was the word that they used for war horses. So I did some research on these war horses. Look at this. You ever really like this? There were three types of war horses. There were the coursers. Excuse me, that's for the second one. The first one was the rounceys. That was just the common horse. The common horse, rouncey, if they brought the horses in, they didn't have any training, they didn't have any application, they didn't have any, or they were not even pedigree kind of horses. They would bring them in, though they were considered rounceys. But the thing is, no matter where your pedigree was, if you didn't know anything, you were considered a rouncey. So nobody knew the potential until they began to work on it. And the horses sure didn't know their potential until God got a hold of them. I mean, till the trainers, I got ahead of myself, didn't I? The trainers get a hold of them. And when the trainers would get a hold of them, they would begin to respond. And when they began to respond to the training and begin to give in and begin to move and back up and turn right and turn left and respond. See, horses are always responding out of fear, but war horses can't respond out of fear. They have to respond out of attack mode. They have to completely do away with their normal personality, their normal bashfulness, their normal shyness, their normal run, let's get out of here. And they turn into individuals who are excited about going into war, who are excited when they hear the trumpet, when they hear the battle cry. They get anxious about going in and they love the encounter. So the first one is a rouncey, the second is a courser. Coursers are these. They're faster, lighter, and they're used in lighter type combat. They're more of the quarter horsey looking type of horses, and they move quick. And then they have the destriers. The destriers are this. They're the premium heavy combat horses that have all the attributes of, I mean, they're destriers. They have all of the attributes of the coursers, but they are the premium heavy combat destruction horses. They are the ones who love to go to battle, who are so sensitive to the reins. They're sensitive to the movement. They're sensitive to the motion. They understand it so well that they sometimes don't even need commands because they know how the battle is fought, and they're so good at it. They use them for the jousting things, the high-quality, big, strong, quick, massive horses that love the battle. Then there's only a few that ever get into there. They're called the destriers and the premium horses. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus when he came back on the donkey. That when Jesus, I mean, when a king comes in riding a donkey or a mule, he's coming in peace. That was the Palm Sunday. But in Revelation, when it talks about Jesus coming back on a white horse, they said he's coming back on a horse, and he'll be leading warriors. It's his second coming. And at his second coming, it will be for war. And the horse he'll be riding won't be just a normal old rouncy horse. It won't be a donkey. It won't be a mule. It won't even be a courser. It'll be a destrier, a premium heavy combat horse that will be used for battle. And the battle will be for the nations, and the separation between the wheat and the chaff, and the separation between the saints and the sinners, and the separation between the godly and the ungodly, for a destination of heaven and a destination of hell itself. And that, my friend, is a battle that you only want to see from one perspective, and that perspective is this. You want to be behind him, going with him, because that's the side that wins. You don't want to be in front of that horse as he's coming to you, because that's the side that loses. At that point, you've already chosen which side you're on. And I challenge you today to choose, as he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or will you serve yourself? Will you serve your own master? Will you serve the devil himself? Will you serve sin? Will you serve idolatry? Will you serve false religions? The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is the supreme sacrifice for our sins, and that is the open door. It says, I'm the door. Any man that comes through me gets in. If you try to come through a fake door, when you open the door, there's still blockade. It won't let you in. Jesus is the door to salvation. And when he comes, this is what happens. We're still in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. So when this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then when the saying is written will take place, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And what God's looking for, he's looking for saints. He's looking for saints that have the same attitude as the destrier horses. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be a person that God can depend on. I want to be big enough in spirit that he can depend on me. I want to make good decisions. I want to listen, respond, and I want to know what the heart of God is. You don't have to hear everything from God. If you study his word, you know what God wants. It just becomes natural for you to be responsive to God. And we do always need to be responsive, because sometimes we think we know what we're supposed to do and we'll charge into it. And he says, wait a minute, not yet. We still need to listen, but we want to know what's going on so we respond to it at the right time. That's what God's asking from you today. He's asking from you to be humble and accept his authority over your life. He's asking you to be humble and accept your leader's authority over your life. Maybe your boss, maybe your husband, maybe your parent. Then he's asking for meekness. What that means is you need to make something out of yourself. With God's help, with God's direction, begin to find yourself being a man or a woman of God who understands the word of God, who understands the plan of God, who understands what God has going on and is responsive to God in a manner that makes you effective for the kingdom. And if you can do that, you're going to be an asset to God. That's what I want to be, is an asset to God. So I challenge you. You want to be an asset to God? And I'm just saying this. Probably isn't the easiest life that you can find, but it's all so worth it. I wish you the best. May God bless you. We'll see you here very next week.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.